free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, we're back. Hour number two, ladies and gentlemen. And just to reiterate, if you'd like to communicate with Monica in South Africa, her email is very simple. Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, dot, like period, Huggett, H-U-G-G-E-T-T, at gmail.com. So, again, that is monica.huggett, two G's, two T's, at gmail.com. All right? And by the way, folks, you know, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about some of the clips that I have, but I want to get to the clips anyway, just to tell you how ludicrous, as you know, how ludicrous everything has become now in America, and the worst is yet to come. We have to understand that this is the Bolshevikation. This is the Stalinization of America in her streets. And this violence, it's not protest. It's not anti-racism. It's all about communist, created, inspired, and financed. That is capitalist financed terror. It is coming from that same elite, the synagogue of Satan. They're doing their job. And they're doing it because, like I said, God said, you know, these things are going to happen. You're going to be chastised, folks, in your cities, in your country, wherever you go, you're going to have problems. You cannot escape it. You can't leave one part of the country and go to another, one part of your state and go to another. You're not going to escape it in the fields, in the villages, in the cities, in the hamlets. Just read it in Deuteronomy 28. You know, I mean, it's all written. And as it is written, it shall come to pass. So, folks, it's not very pleasant. And it, as I said, this is what most of these so-called kosher conservative talk hosts will not tell you. They will not reveal for you. They are all hung up on Trump's white coat. He's the white knight in shining armor. And I don't mean that in an allegorical sense. But you understand, he is their man. He is going to fix it all. And he is just as much a part of the whole dialectic as all of the other portions are. Folks, it is a dialectic. It is a matrix. It is a total fraud. What is happening is not going to be remediated in any way, shape, or form by any kind of political action, any kind of partying, or any kind of jockeying for demonstrations that are counter to what you see. This is the end of the empire. This is the end of the fallen empire of America. But to show you how ridiculous it is, you know, forget about all these free zones all over the country, all these countries within countries that Alexander Dugin predicted would be the case when he was quoted several years ago on Breitbart News. That America would subdivide and be submerged in a dictatorship. We're going to go through a phase of discombobulation, phase of 10 regions, and regions that will be under submission of control by governments. And this will be a police state type of activity, as Monica just described. But, you know, in addition to all of that, here in my state, would you believe they're fighting over a name? That's right, over a name. They're willing to go to war over a simple name. What name, you ask, Rick? Well, the name of Rhode Island, where I live, is, in legal terms, the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Now you can imagine Providence Plantations. Roger Williams, shame on him. Well, how dare he create a slave plantation here in this colony, apart from Massachusetts, while allegedly fleeing from slavery and oppression? Well, of course, no such thing happened. But again, you have another cause. You have another cash register, ka-ching, ka-ching, and you have another movement. And of course, it captivates, you know, both sides, and there are both sides to this question. There are scholars, constitutional and historical scholars, such as Pat Conley and some others in the state, who know their history too well. And they say that Providence Plantations had nothing to do with slavery. It had to do with planting a whole new colonial experience. Planting, like you plant seeds in the garden. You don't enslave them or imprison them. What you do is you lay the groundwork for a blossoming forth of freedom and liberty. And that was the whole purpose of the state. So what do they do? Oh, we got another cause. Oh, it's racism. Oh, it started all over again. We got to put it on the ballot. And this silly governor says, yes, we should put the question on the ballot. Should we change the name? Well, it's already been voted down in the past when that was part of the, I believe, the Constitutional Convention. Should we change the name? And the public said, no, leave it be. Don't ruffle the feathers. So now this silly governor, Raimondo, says that removing Providence Plantations from the state name should be on the ballot. Let the voters decide. Well, the voters didn't have a chance to decide on whether or not we should have a lockdown, whether we should take our masks, put them on our face all day and all night, breathing problems and the like. We didn't have a vote in that matter. We didn't have a vote as to whether or not we would shut down our churches, shut down our various recreational activities, shut down what some would call unnecessary, but others would call necessary activity. Now, do as I say, not as I do. And this governor also was at a massive rally, the so-called Black Lives Matter, and she wasn't wearing a mask. And she was addressing 10,000, they say, at the Capitol. And they were not 10 feet apart. They weren't even 10 inches apart. We have the commissioner, I believe, of the police department hugging one of the organizers of this. Oh, he may have had his mask on, but at least you have to say, even so, he was just so close. And maybe it was an embrace. Who knows? These days, you just can't tell, right? Well, folks, again, that's the absurdity of absurdities, how far we've come down this road. It's not political correctness run amok. This is the destruction from within, the implosion of a society, of a civilization that once was a Christian nation. Once was an Israelite nation. I want to play now a segment. I think you'll find this to be most interesting, this first segment I think we should play. And that is from somebody, by the way, who is on BitChute and getting away from YouTube as much as we can. And that's good. That's a good thing. And, of course, we call him, well, his name is Christopher John. You probably know him. Chris John, I believe his last name is it Buvins or something to that effect. His video, though, that he put up is Coronavirus Chronicles. That's what it is. Well, he ties it into Harvard. Ties it into Harvard University and how Harvard and the Chabad Lubavitch Jewish supremacists hate America and how they're destroying America from within on a variety of fronts. In this segment, he has some very interesting things to say about some of the key players from Harvard and what they're doing with the Chinese, what they're doing with us, and what they're doing to the white European people. So let's see if we can give a listen to some of what he has to say. Chris John. Let's listen in.
The Negro question. Now, basically summarized, the communist
That's the other one. That's the other clip. That's G. Edward Griffin, Ken. See if you can get the right one. You didn't see the first one? Okay, well, all right, let's switch then. That's okay. The one you're playing was G. Edward Griffin, who is tying this whole thing in, this whole anti-racism mentality, with what the communists were planning on doing. It's called More Deadly Than War. And let's see if we can continue with that segment first, then we'll get to Chris John. All right, go ahead. Continue.
Now, basically summarized, the communist position on the Negro question is as follows. As early as 1928, the communists declared that the racial differences among our people constituted the weakest and most vulnerable point in our social fabric. By constantly probing and straining at this one spot, they calculated that eventually the cloth could be torn apart and that Americans could be divided, weakened, and perhaps even set against each other in open combat. They said in no unmistakable terms that the Negro people, because of their secondary social status and their predominant working class composition, offered greater revolutionary possibilities than any other cross-section of the population. To develop these possibilities, the communists proclaimed that the American Negro constituted a separate nation within a nation, a colony within the continental borders of the United States. The people of this nation were said to be oppressed and exploited by colonialist, imperialist, racist America. Consequently, the Communist Party called for their liberation, their right to self-determination, to break away from the United States and to set up their own nation within our borders. Now, to bring this about, of course, force and violence must be used. A war of national liberation must be fought. The territory designated for this nation to be liberated was the Black Belt in the South, those counties and states in which the Negro population was dominant. When established, the new nation was to have a Soviet-type government and be totally subservient to the Communist Party. But, and this is extremely important, the Communists made it clear from the very beginning that they could never hope to capture all of the United States with a war of national liberation, only part of it. You see, elsewhere in the world, the segment of the population supposedly liberated by the Communists has been a majority segment. The peasants in China, the Muslims in Algeria, all the people in Cuba. But in the United States, our Negro population is in the minority. And even if the communists should be successful in creating similar liberation movements among other segments of our people, as they're trying to do, for instance, among Mexican Americans, Puerto Ricans, and even American Indians, even if they should succeed and then amalgamate all of these together into one large liberation movement, it still adds up to a minority of the total population. And the communists are not stupid. They realize that revolution of force and violence dependent upon a minority is doomed to ultimate failure, except in those areas where they actually do constitute a majority.
Go ahead, continue.
But they aren't going to settle for just part of the United States. They want all of it. And so they made it clear long ago that their violent war of national liberation must be secondary to the nonviolent proletarian revolution. To take the United States, all of the United States, it'll be necessary, they say, to involve white people as well as black, to create a broad coalition, a revolutionary link between the civil rights movement, organized labor, peace groups, student dissidents, and in general, to escalate their revolution in America from race war to class war. Now, this, in a nutshell, is the communist position on the Negro question. Let's turn now to the record and see how the communists themselves explain it. Now, this communist booklet, entitled American Negro Problems, was published in 1928. It was written by John Pepper, alias Joseph Pogani. Now, Pogani was sent to this country as the personal envoy of Joseph Stalin, and his specific mission was to bring the American Communist Party into line with the policies and directives from Moscow, particularly with regard to the Negro question. And here is what Pogani said. The Communist Party of America, in its fight against imperialism, must recognize clearly the tremendous revolutionary possibilities of the liberation movement of the Negro people. It is the basic duty of the Communist Party to develop all revolutionary possibilities of the Negro race. The Black Belt in the South constitutes virtually a colony within the body of the United States of America. Self-determination means the right to establish their own state, to erect their own government if they choose to do so. The Communist Party of America must come out openly and unreservedly for the right of national self-determination for the Negroes. But it would be a major mistake to believe that there can be any other revolution in imperialist America than a proletarian revolution. Now let me repeat that last sentence, because it's the key to this entire presentation. It would be a major mistake to believe that there can be any other revolution in imperialist America
than a proletarian revolution.
Well, moving forward to the year 1935, we come to this communist booklet entitled The Negroes in a Soviet America, written by James Ford and James Allen. Beginning on page 24, the general strategy is laid out in rather graphic form. You see, there's a major heading here entitled The Negro and Revolution. Directly beneath this, there's a subheading entitled Two Revolutions in One. And then within this section, it says, The problem of Negro liberation has two aspects. We shall first consider each separately and then show how the solution for the first flows into the solution for the second. Now, the next subheading then is entitled The Rebellion of an Oppressed Nation. And the section that follows that describes the violent revolution that must be fought to liberate the Black Belt of the South. And then finally, over in the next page, there's another subheading entitled The Proletarian Revolution. And here we begin to get an idea, finally, of what this phase of the revolution is all about. It says, Capitalism is decaying. It is an outworn system. Capitalism is based upon the private ownership of machines, factories, railroads, land, and all other means of production. Only one thing can do away with the basis for the existence of capitalism, the expropriation of the capitalists. And by the way, I'm sure you realize that everyone here, by communist definition at least, is a capitalist. So you should feel good to know that there are those who are planning your expropriation someday. In order to expropriate the capitalists, the workers first need to discard the existing government machinery and to institute a working class government. Under this new workers' government, the building of socialism begins. Now, exactly what that's all about, the building of socialism, we'll get to in a moment. But finally, on page 28, under the third subheading entitled The Combination of Two Revolutions, the communists reveal how the two phases of their revolution are related to each other, and which of the two is most important to them. Between the proletarian revolution and the revolution of the Negro people, there is a living link. This is the working class. Here reposes the leadership of the two aspects of the revolution. But the Negro communist is first and foremost the exponent of the proletarian revolution. Well, 1935 is a long time ago. And sometimes we hear it said that the communists have since abandoned this concept. But ladies and gentlemen, they cannot abandon it for the simple reason that if they did so, they'd be abandoning the classic dual form of revolution dictated by Marxism-Leninism. They'd cease to be communists. To justify violence, they have to be able to claim that they're liberating people.
And that's the way it is, isn't it, huh? You bet. Come right back, and we'll start another segment in just a few minutes. Rick Adams Uncensored here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
But what else is there to do with thieves and murderers taking over? And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, by the way, for all the good responses to Monica. And I, quite honestly, didn't expect them. But it's good to know that she and our brethren there have quite a camaraderie, if I may use the term, and they do understand what they're going through, because now we're seeing it happen here. As I said, this is only the beginning of sorrows, so I'm very pleased with that. No response on anything else that we've said or anything else through email. By the way, the email is rick458@cox.net, rick458@cox.net. And the Facebook page, Rick Adams, Uncensored, RBN, you see it, you're there. We get a lot of participation now, and the word is getting out. So let me give this remark before we get into the next segment that we originally wanted to play. In 1967-68, of course, during the Johnson administration, while the USS Liberty had been under attack in international waters on June 8th, there were riots already happening in the streets of America from city to city. They were starting to burn. This is all the progeny, the result of the agitation for so-called civil rights amongst the races, which was a creation of the Communist Party USA. They were four square 100% behind it all. And yet, Mr. Johnson was able to structure a commission that he appointed in 1967, which was a report of the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disobedience.
That's right, and civil protests in the streets of America. It was also known as the Kerner Commission, the Otto Kerner Commission, the judge, federal judge. Well, anyway, he was appointed to this position. They met, and there were a host of characters on this commission, sort of like the Warren Commission and all of these others, the Owen Roberts Commission, going back to FDR and the planned murder of all of our servicemen at Pearl Harbor. Well, this commission did a little digging, and as I alluded to earlier, folks, they did some digging to find out what was the cause of all of this civil unrest in America's cities. Well, they definitely named the police as being the instigators in many cases. Police were using high-handed tactics. They were getting a little rough on some of the kids that were demonstrating and some of the Negroes that were pillaging and raping and plotting and scheming and so on and so forth. And Dr. King, of course, stayed far away from the scene. He, denounced the police. He denounced America as the most violent nation in the world, as you will recall. This while he lived in the lap of luxury, and he managed to take women across state lines and different colors and so forth and rape them. I think the term is had sex with them. And this was getting a bit too much for the FBI and for Kennedy. Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, said, look, knock it off. Knock it off. You're causing a lot of trouble for the movement. Dr. King, you'd better straighten yourself out. But King couldn't resist those degenerate urges and so forth. So anyway, the windup was King was worth more dead than alive. So lo and behold, an assassin comes out of the woodwork. James Earl Ray, was that his name at the time? And he supposedly gunned him down. Well, folks, this, again, was all pre-planned. It was, you see, I'm not just saying these things because I'm a conspiracy theorist. No, I look at the evidence. I look at the trail of blood. I look at the trail in the hand of the OSS, the Mossad, the CIA, the FBI, now the DHS. I've done my homework, and you can too. And it's very simple. This was planned chaos, and out of chaos comes control. So, folks, the Kerner Commission was a fraud. It was a lie. It was a hoax. It was a put-up job designed to blame poverty, the police, to blame our racist society. These things sound familiar to you? Huh? Old George Floyd or whatever his name is today? Oh, my goodness. You know, the same tactics, the same formula. Just the names have changed to protect the guilty. And there are still people who'll fall for it, people who'll just go head over heels in lockstep movement to just walk arm in arm with the powers that be and talk racism. And we can have contests in the schools now with coloring books and so forth. Oh, I can't use that word. I can't say white books, but cartoon books, you know. And then we can ban Little Black Sambo cartoon by UBI Works in 1935. And we can substitute something, you know, modernistic. Or we can put on the Jeffersons. Or we can put on some good Norman Lear entertainment, some wholesome entertainment, and that is good. Song of the South must go, and Gone with the Wind must go, because we are a racist society, and America is a land of pure European racism. From Christopher Columbus, whose statue has been defiled here, head chopped off in the name of diversity and tolerance, to all of those other heroes, even, we'll say, James Madison, father of the Constitution, host of others, Patrick Henry, got to include them all, because they're all white men, and they're all bad men. So, this segment here, we're going to play, that I told you about before, by Chris Johnson, is definitely, I think, a humdinger. It tells you who hates America, where they're from, and what Lublavitch sect they belong to. See if we can bring them up now, Ken. Right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are Public Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Radical Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
All righty, we are back again. I want to get into this segment, which I just told you about, but I think we do have a caller on the line, Pat, who wants to contribute something from Fort Worth. Is that you, Pat, from Fort Worth?
Yeah, I was just looking up, trying to find that book by Dr. Carl McIntyre, who traveled with Martin Luther King.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he had to tell the truth because he knew he was going to face God when he died. So he told the truth in a book he wrote, and he backs up all of that. He said that Martin Luther King had a woman in every port, and when he went to Memphis, he was having trouble with that woman there, and he asked Carl McIntyre to go make up for him with that woman, and he did. And the woman went to see him in his room, and Martin Luther King jumped on the woman just like he had never made friends for him again.
Yeah.
And so he.
Yeah, I knew Carl McIntyre pretty well. He came to a church up here in my area, and you know he was, I guess, the head of the International Council of Christian Churches, from what I remember. So that's one of many stories. And then we have Julia Ward Brown. She was the black undercover FBI agent who said that King was a liar and a fraud, and he was the greatest enemy of my people. So you know that has to be true because the media have revered him so much.
Well, I know that the people in Alabama did not like communists, and they would put on billboards a picture of Martin Luther King and the Mont Eagle communist training camp on billboards. So, you know, people didn't like it in the South. They don't cotton to communism, and didn't used to. And so, you know, he definitely appeared to be communist. I mean, you know, he got off of preaching peace when he wanted people to get out and fight the Vietnam War. I mean, that didn't make any peace. All it did is cause 3 million people. He coined the word boat people after 3 million people tried to get out of Vietnam and died trying to get out from communism.
Well, he wasn't a member of any communist party. He was a useful tool of the communists, and this is how they put people into action. People with great speaking abilities, and he certainly was a very powerful oratorical genius. He could captivate any audience, and those are the kind of people that are very, very effective for the cause and steer the passions. But my point is that wherever he went, there was peace until he left. And after he left, the city burned to the ground in many cases. You know, I mean, they came out to do their thing. Yeah. Yeah,
I think he caused all the racism, because in California, nobody knew races. I mean, a black kid in my high school died on a trampoline. They had to shut the whole school down. So I didn't even see racism till after then. And when I went to Atlanta, I was up there during all that stuff, and they would link hands, and they would go along a sidewalk and push you out in the street. I never saw any of that till he came along.
Well, that's what it's all about, elevating that so-called race consciousness, but only it's not a cohesive thing. You know, it's not meant to heal wounds or to in any way just respect each other's differences. It's meant to agitate. And who are the agitators behind the scenes? Well, we know who they are. You know, Levinson was one of them, one of the key people behind
it. Have you noticed the only history that the black people are ever allowed to know about themselves is the communist history?
Right.
I bet most people didn't know that a man named Salom, last S-A-L-O-A-M, I think they took the name of whoever owned him, maybe a Jewish person owned him, and he worked his way out of slavery by working another job at night, and he helped the Revolutionary War amazingly, helped us win. And he died with $300,000 in his pocket. I say, now we're all under the IRS. We'll never get out of this slavery. But you could buy your way out back then.
Well, you're right. We have the new slavery today that no one dares denounce. That's the Israeli Revenue Service. My, huh? I guess that's a good form of slavery.
Well, you know, I don't think his family believes that James Earl Ray did that. They say they don't. They probably know the whole truth. Okay, I'll let you go. I just wanted to back you up because you sound like you.
Thank you, Pat. That was very nice. Thank you for your Fort Worth contribution. All right, let's get to JC now, or CJ, I guess it is, Chris Johnson. Let's see if we can join it right now. Go ahead, Ken.
Of course. Now, Harvard has produced a number of Jewish alumni and those with close ties to the Jews, including Louis Brandeis, the Supreme Court justice who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson into forcing America into World War I on the side of the British and against the Germans in exchange for the Balfour Declaration. Brandeis was a Harvard alumni. He was also a Frankist Jew and part of the Shabbatean movement to, through revolution, take over the world. Harvard was also disgraced by the fact that the Jewish Mossad agent and pedophile who was blackmailing American politicians donated a great deal of money to Harvard and promoted himself as a Harvard man, even though he really wasn't. Alan Dershowitz is another Harvard alumni who is heavily involved with the Chabad-Lubavitch movement, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Harvard University also had a professor who was subverting American interests in favor of Chinese interests, and he sold America out to the Red Chinese, and he just happened to be Jewish. From the United States Department of Justice website, we read: Harvard University professor and two Chinese nationals charged in three separate China-related cases. We go down. Here is Dr. Charles Lieber of Harvard University. According to court documents, since 2008, Dr. Lieber, who has served as the principal investigator of the Lieber Research Group at Harvard University, which specialized in the area of nanoscience, has received more than $15 million in grant funding from the National Institutes of Health and Department of Defense. And then it goes on to outline how he was subverting our interests for the Chinese and was paid by the Chinese $50,000 per month. So he's a Harvard Jew that sold us out to the Red Chinese. And guess what? He was selling us out to the Wuhan laboratory, from whence came the coronavirus. I'll put links to all of these in the description below. Another famous Harvard Jew and Marxist who wanted to subvert America and destroy the white race in America was Ignatieff, Russian Jew. He promoted the idea that whites have to be abolished because whites are supposedly inherently racist. He's a Marxist Jew, a Harvard Marxist Jew. Ignatieff set up Marxist discussion groups in the early 1980s. In 1985, Ignatieff was accepted to the Harvard Graduate School of Education without an undergraduate degree. Ignatieff was a graduate student at Harvard University, where he earned his PhD in 1995. His academic work was linked to his call to, quote, abolish the white race. So again, we have Harvard, the oldest American university, a Christian university, subverted by Jews to not only subvert Harvard, but to subvert the entire nation and eliminate the white race, which founded Harvard. Here's a YouTube compilation of some of Ignatieff's statements.
Is doing away with whiteness.
Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. Sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not.
My concern is doing away with whiteness.
Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. Sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. If you abolish slavery, you abolish slaveholders. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. I could not point to any examples where it has provoked political censorship. Whiteness is an identity that arises entirely out of oppression. Whiteness is not a culture. It's not a religion. It's not a language. It's simply an oppressive social category. Blackness is an identity that can be plausibly argued. Black studies is a study of a people that has formed itself in resistance to its oppression. The task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue. my concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. Sure. The suggestion is that is...
Louis Brandeis, quite ironically, went to Harvard in the 1890s, and he was famous for his advocacy of rights to privacy because he was a Jewish Frankist. He wanted the Jews to have the right to have their little cabal of Shabbatean revolutionaries operate in private. And he came up with the concept of the right to be let alone, which is quite ironic, because this subversive Jew who blackmailed President Wilson to get us into World War I and then was involved with the Roosevelt administration in getting America to enter into World War II, both times against Germany. We see that coming out of Harvard, we have a study which advocates the massive scale testing, tracing, and supported isolation as the path to pandemic resilience for a, quote, free society, which is destined to result in a massive violation of our fundamental rights to privacy, which Brandeis was one of the leading advocates for. Quite ironic, actually. We have Alan Dershowitz, another famous alumni of Harvard University, and he has great power in the media and great power. He was Trump's lawyer, I think he was Epstein's lawyer, and he was also heavily involved in Chabad and Chabad directly at Harvard. And we can listen to him speak here.
Rabbi Zarki, what can I say about Rabbi Zarki? He's my Rebbe. Many years ago, he came to Harvard, and he said, I have an idea. I want to bring Chabad to Harvard. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. And I said, not only are you not crazy, this is a revolution. I want to be behind you. I want to be the first faculty advisor. I want to support you. I want to be with you. And but one thing about Chabad, it is not only intellectually supportive of Israel, but its neshama, its heart, and its soul. And it turns kids, Jewish kids, half-Jewish kids, non-Jewish kids, because Chabad doesn't judge. I remember sitting in Chabad with Jared Kushner one night, and a guy walked in.
So we can see that Harvard has not only been infiltrated by Jewry, it has been infiltrated by Chabad, which has also infiltrated the White House through Jared Kushner and has infiltrated the Russian government through Vladimir Putin and his rabbi, Beryl Lazar, and through the Jewish oligarch, Abramovich, who kicked out Guzinski, who headed a rival Jewish organization in Russia. So Putin thereby made Chabad the ruling Jewish force in Russia, and therefore the leading ruling force in Russia. And Chabad also controls the Likud party in Israel and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has made several deals with the communist Chinese. Rex Tillerson pointed out that Jared Kushner hijacked U.S. foreign policy. He was operating outside of government circles and conducting foreign policy in subversive ways. Kushner is a Chabad man. He is also a Harvard man, and he was involved in Chabad at Harvard. And we can see him and let him speak for himself on that issue. He was speaking at the Chabad House at Harvard in the year 2003.
I recall, and never a task that you are too busy to help out a fellow Jew.
Yeah. So we can see that Jews take care of their own. Now, did we want these people who have such an in-group, out-group mentality ruling America? I would say we certainly don't. We can see the problems that Kushner has caused America and will continue to cause America. For as long as Trump remains president, he has the power to do us great harm.
Making today a celebration of a beginning. With the new center, we hope that Chabad will
there he is in his little
its
kippah.
Rapid growth and popularity within the Harvard community as it enhances the lives of so many people on a daily basis in so many ways. Thank you all for coming today.
Here's a good article. Again, the links will be down below in the description. America has a Jared Kushner problem. And this article documents the fact that Kushner is setting up a Chinese fifth column in America, a very wealthy Chinese, through the EB-5 visa program that Kushner has been pushing for, whereby wealthy Chinese can buy their way into America and get this visa. And this article also points out Trump's hypocrisy and lies that he has closed off immigration, when in fact, Kushner behind the scenes is pressing Trump to open up immigration to these this powerful Chinese fifth column of Chinese businessmen and others who are going to subvert us and continue to subvert us. Trump
Thank
has
you.
Been a
Thank
big
you. We'll
player.
Stop there, Ken. And stop there. Isn't that interesting? But you cannot get visas for South African whites to come into America under this administration. Very few, if any at all. You see, what you're being told about this administration and what is this administration are not always the same. See how the media actually conceal these things, how they actually protect him. So much for this great big war of deep state against Trump. Friends, how many times are we going to tell you it's all a ruse? It's all one big massive deception. If you want to see the entire presentation by Chris Johns, you can go right to our program page, Rick Adams Uncensored Facebook page, and the whole thing is up there. Coronavirus Chronicles, Jews at Harvard University, and the war on us. So you can see it for yourself before it's probably taken down. And we appreciate that if you would. Now, of course, one of the interesting things in the Israeli press, some of the headlines as we focus on Watch Jerusalem are also very magnitudinous. This Israeli, a family of the autistic man who was fatally shot by police in Palestine are demanding the release of the security video that shows how he was set up and how he was shot. He was a man who's obviously an autistic man. At the time, they said they didn't know. He looked like a terrorist. He acted like a terrorist. He was raising his arms and so forth like he was going to hurl a bomb. So he had to shoot to kill. Well, this is just one more example of police brutality, of military style, goose-stepping to the synagogue of Satan. Activities which are deadly, which are vile, which are perverted, and which contradict all manner of lawfulness and civility. Certainly our scriptures, our Old Testament, which they claim to adhere to. So we have that. We have that demand being asked. The family obviously losing a young man who was just simply killed because he was thought to be a terrorist, but he was autistic. Undoubtedly, the autism probably came from polluted waters and all of the other garbage that they put into the systems of those who are captive. So we have this. I'm okay with that. All right. Then we have the extremists now, the so-called settler extremists who are burning cars owned by Palestinians, setting fire to housing projects, and setting fire to their property and so forth, but they said that apparently they're being apprehended.
by the Israeli police. They are going to be prosecuted. We can assure you we will not allow this sort of hooliganism and racism to take place. Not us. We just couldn't tolerate that. And, yes, we do have the faithful that are beginning, despite Corona, to start to get a little antsy, folks, about gathering at Temple Mount once again. They're looking to garner a few souls here and there that will go and worship the spirit of Ariel Sharon at the foot of Temple Mount, the site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So things are starting to get quite heated up, and they will, I think, continue to do so while we are distracted now totally by this race issue in America, and not the real racists and the real race issue across the world, and that is the bad fig tree generation that began in 1948, according to the scriptures. So we either go by that or we just go by fiction and lying Lester and so on and so forth, you know? So I'll tell you, folks, it doesn't get any deeper than this. It is just unimaginable. So, folks, we are in a time of Babylonian captivity of the mind, confusion, deep confusion, and we are just finishing up. How much worse can it get? People will say, well, you know, it's gotten worse before and it's getting worse again. We've had these moments before, Rodney King moments, and they will morph into a new moment. It will involve Tehran, or it'll involve the Islamic sites and so forth, and another attack by some Islamic extremist from Iran that will catapult the nation again into some sort of violent predilection for war, which is what the administration seems to be aiming for, is some sort of military conflict. But Americans now are fed up with militarism. They cannot possibly, at this time, put up with it. Yet, all cards are on the table, as Trump himself has said. Comes to it, and the Zionazis want us to go to war, then we will go to war. It depends on what Bibi and Adelson would like us to do. So that is essentially just a brief thumbnail sketch, you know, of what the word is out of Jerusalem. Also, we're being told by the scientists there that the Israeli government may soon be able to boast that its scientists have created a vaccination. That's right, a vaccination that will solve the corona crisis. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's all you need to. Well, folks, we're out of time. Pray, read the scripture, study thyself to show thyself approved, and don't be ashamed of it. Let's be walking boastfully in that sense of truth and justice, bold before men and humble before the Lord, thankful that he's given us such wisdom today and great calls and great program. Once again, reaching out with the truth. Thank you all, and God willing, we'll see you next week. Maybe Art will be back then. Until then, may Yahweh bless.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.